And welcome into the Tuesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We got a lot of things going on again today here on the program. Nice to see the Chicago Bears pick up where they left off and open things up with a nice season loss last night. Just good stuff.
Yeah, for a while last night, I was like, man, Ben Johnson and Jared Goff are going to miss each other so much, and so are Sam Darnold and Justin Jefferson. My goodness, two amazing tandems from last year, just going to be like all year thinking of each other. I will give J.J. McCarthy credit, though. He turned it on, man. Yeah. And you can see with him, I mean, like the speed with him. And he can rip it, man. So that's some promise there for the Vikings. But, Chicago. Oh, my God. Oh, there's a nice pick six. There's your, after that first drive, your best offense of the entire night there for the Chicago Bears. I would not say that was an auspicious debut of Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson together.
You hate to see it. Ian
Safar?
Yeah. How are we doing? What's
sure
going on?
Sure you do.
Doing good, thanks. Made it till about 10 o'clock last night, so missed the end. But
I wish I did the same thing.
Yeah. But, yeah, doing great. Thanks. Getting ready to turn the page to the Rams, I guess, here soon.
Yes.
Huh?
Yeah. Getting close. Although.
Kind of.
Coach is making it difficult right now, I'll be honest with you. He's making it difficult right now.
Callie.
Joe. You know, the beginning of Brian Callahan's press conference yesterday started basically how I thought it would, you know, after he got through all, you know, I guess all the positives that he wanted to get out of the way real quick of what he saw from the game. But he finally got around to, in his words, I guess, why every reporter was there yesterday to discuss.
Normally, I talk to nobody about the Titans.
No one sitting in here on the Monday.
It's me and Jimmy Wyatt. Jim, go ahead. Ask another question.
That's all it is. But there was Brian Callahan's original owning up to his wrong interpretation of the Elik Iomanner play on Sunday in Denver.
And again, I know you guys are all here for the conversation about the play with Elik and challenging the play and what I said after the game. And look, ultimately, my interpretation of the rule was wrong. I'll own it. We should have challenged the play, and that's pretty much all I can say about it. Is I'll own the mistake. Should have challenged it, and that's where it stands.
So that was Brian Callahan. I said, all right, there it is. That's about how I thought it would go to start this thing off. And he's addressed it, and he's owned it. And he said, quote, ultimately, my interpretation of the rule was wrong. And I was like, well, that's not good, but at least he got out there and said it. At least he got up there and said, you know what, that's what it is. Because I think at this point, we all kind of know that's what it is. So I thought that was going to be it. I figured he'd get asked about it a few more times and just kind of repeat the same line. And then he was asked about it a few more times. He did repeat the same line, more or less. And as we got into question about four or five on this regard, all of a sudden, the answer started to change a little bit. Here's what Brian Callahan had to say as the press conference went on.
On the Iron Man play, I mean, that rule has been in effect for a long time. I guess in retrospect, are you surprised yourself that you didn't know the correct interpretation of that rule?
Yeah, I think I got a little more clarity on it now at this point. At the end of the day, those things happen really fast. And you're starting to get ready for the next play call, and you're waiting on information from what the look looks like. And look, I misspoke on it after the game, and I'll own that. I'm aware of the rules. I understand the rules. Just, you know, again, a mistake that I made that I gotta correct, just like I'd ask our players to.
So that was Brian Callahan after the fourth time, I believe, he was asked about it yesterday. So then you hear him say there, wait a minute, you misspoke on it. Well, what does that mean? So our friend Jared Stillman followed up and said, all right, well, misspoke. Does that mean you knew the rule? Here's what Brian Callahan had said to that.
So you say that you misspoke yesterday, but at that time you knew that one elbow equaled 2 feet.
Say that one more time.
So yesterday when you misspoke on the rule, you did know at that point that one elbow equals 2 feet.
At that moment?
Yes.
Yeah, I think at the end of the game I was worried about a lot of the things that went wrong in the game and the heat of the moment, the frustration of it after the game in the press conference, I think is, you know, again, I misspoke. I'm well aware of the rule. I understand how it works. And the way that I articulated afterwards was incorrect. And, you know, I understand the rules of this game pretty well.
So what's he talking about? I walked away from that yesterday, Joe. Like, I heard it in real time, and I thought, huh? You start off the press conference saying, ultimately, my interpretation of the rule was wrong. That was what you said, your words. And by the end of it, you're saying, oh, well, I misspoke. I know the rules. What does that mean? Like, he just, I feel like he just tied himself up in this giant pretzel at that press conference yesterday. And now I'm looking at him like, what are you talking about? I have no idea what to take away from that yesterday. Had he just ended it with, yeah, I got it wrong, guys, and that's what it was, I don't love it, but at least we would know, and that's what we'd be talking about. It'd probably be over with after today, at least for the meantime. But now it's like, okay, well, he starts off by saying, ultimately, my interpretation of the rule was wrong. And by the end of it, he's talking about how he misspoke and he knows the rules. I was dumbfounded by this yesterday, Joe. Dumbfounded.
I don't want to talk about this anymore, and yet he's forcing us to talk about
exactly.
This more.
Yeah,
I don't understand what happened. Let's classic. Let's extend a story as much as possible and actually make it worse. I have no idea. You know, if you're Brian Callahan, it's, you know, this has gotten to like NFL media now. So you see a lot of people who,
he's getting crushed.
Yeah, cover the league in general, who are just like, oh my God. And to the, just the, you know, the initial admission, right? Which is, it's just not good. Like you said, I mean, it's not good to not know the rule. Or, you know, I know that Kaharski has thrown out there, you know, and he asked about this, about, you know, maybe he got, you know, the wrong advice, and they went back and forth on that, and Callahan's like, well, it's my responsibility, which it is. I mean, if someone pipes in and says something like that, then as a head coach, you should know the rules and say, what? Shut up, dude. Stop talking to me.
Yeah, if it's your rules guy, you probably need to.
But that, yeah, I mean, if it's rules guy, let him run, whatever, you should still know. But yes, it's just like, it's not good. You're going to get crushed. And that's, I don't know, maybe that's still what the NFL media at large is going to focus on. But now here, we're like, what did he just decide to, like, to just totally change his story in the matter of seconds standing at a podium? Yeah. I mean,
he,
I guess
he
that's
changed
what happened.
His answer in the middle of the press conference. Like within a span of, in real time, probably 3 minutes. Like, I mean, that was my takeaway. Like, I texted you guys yesterday after I heard this, and I was like, did I hear that right? Like, is that what he just did?
Yeah, because I initially was like, again, did he? I have to listen to that again. But, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I interpreted the rule wrong, so you didn't know, or you had it wrong.
Yeah.
You were mistaken. Versus, no, I misspoke.
Yeah, what? Those are not the same things.
No, they're not the same things.
That's why I heard it yesterday. I was like, oh, my God, he's making this worse. Like, just, you got it right the first time. Hey, my interpretation of the rule was wrong. And then he kept getting asked about it, and by the time question four rolled around, he was misspeaking. I couldn't believe that yesterday. Which, again, goes back to what's he telling the team? I mean, I'm sure that probably came up in their team meeting yesterday. I mean, they're not dumb. They see all the noise about it, and they're certainly going to see it now. But, like, did he tell them that he misspoke? Did he tell them that he got the rule wrong? Like, I walked away from that just totally confused by Brian Callahan and his tactics yesterday.
Yeah, it was like, you should know. Again, I mean, he it was top of mind for him, right? Because he comes in, oh, you guys are here for this. I mean, I don't know if there was anyone there who's not normally there other than Stilly. So maybe he was just talking about Stilly. He hit Stilly on the brain.
Maybe so.
You know, but it's top of mind. You had a day, basically, or whatever, 20 hours, whatever it is. You had a long time to figure out, okay, how are you going to handle this? And again, off the top, that's it. That's exactly how you handle it. You own it, move on. But I don't understand why then you're going to switch it up mid sentence. It's just another, you know, it doesn't help him. I mean, it just doesn't help him publicly. I don't know with the team. That's a good question. I mean, to me, it's more, I think more importantly for the team is, is this guy good? Does this guy, on a Sunday, does this guy help us? Does this guy help us during the week? Do we like working for him, et cetera, et cetera? But it's also, just like us, I'm sure they're sitting there like, wait, yeah,
what's he talking about?
Huh?
Yeah.
Well, it's not good.
Not been a last couple of days. Good last couple of days here for Brian Callahan. I don't know what other way to put it. You know, the in-game stuff is ultimately going to determine whether or not he's here or not. But, I mean, the rule stuff is troubling.
Yeah.
It is very troubling, to say the least. We're off and running today on Robbie and Rex Road, 615-737-1025. Our phone number. We will continue the discussion on Brian Callahan. A lot of your thoughts to get to as well on this subject. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
There are other people who may have been able to tell you, hey, go ahead and challenge that. What happened there?
That process and how those things get relayed, you know, I'll keep those in-house. But, you know, I'm the head coach of the football team, and my job is to make those decisions. And I didn't do a good enough job in that moment, and I should have challenged it. And it probably would have resulted in a potential explosive play. So should have challenged the play.
But your interpretation of it being incorrect, the interpretation of Rob in your ear is also incorrect. He's there to correct you or counsel you, and he's also not getting it right in the moment, correct?
Again, I should have challenged the play. And the communication and how those things happened are all part of the process that we got to do a better job of overall. But I'm in charge of that, and I didn't do a good enough job there. So, again, I should have challenged the play.
That's Brian Callahan yesterday. Taking your thoughts on the aftermath of the 20-12 loss for the Denver Broncos, the misinterpretation / misspeaking of the rules that's going on out there. Aaron on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, so he misspoke after the game, then misspoke at the beginning of the press conference, but he also misspoke about being misspoken. I've got a headache. This is from Aaron on the text line.
Dang it, the when you put it that way, Aaron. I mean, there's something in there that's correctly spoken. I just don't know what it is.
You would think so.
It's not all misspeaking. There's some non-misspeaking, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, man. Joey from Bellevue says, I didn't think it was possible, but Callahan makes Robbie more frustrated than people cutting in lines. The last 2 days he has been. I mean, my goodness. What are we doing around here?
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's just – and it's a distraction. Maybe it's a good distraction. I actually, there was something yesterday that I think – again, it's like the two things from Sunday on the coaching front. This is incredible, and this is one of those things. This is going to follow him. Like, if, you know, he goes on to a great head coaching career, it'll be like, look at this guy, came back from this thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like last year, and everybody's like replaying Dan Campbell talking about biting kneecaps, and it becomes like this awesome thing for the Lions, you know? Like, maybe this will somehow be like the Titans, like, we don't need no rule book. Tighten up. I mean, I have no idea, you know? But if it, you
know, we can only hope.
If it goes poorly, then this is going to be, the dude who didn't know the rules, yeah, and then lied about it or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But I honestly, I seriously, I got triggered yesterday by as we revisit the end of the first half conversation. It didn't work out. I mean, if we have that, so we don't have to get into it now. We can play it at some point, and then I can, you know, have my little tantrum about that. Like, the idea that it's, well, the plays didn't work, so you guys second-guess them, which is what coaches always say. And a lot of times coaches are exactly right. It's like, third and two, you ran it, you should have thrown because you got stopped. Third and two, you throw it, you should have ran because you got stopped. Well, that's stupid. I agree, coaches. But before you even start that series, if the entire world's like, okay, they only have two timeouts, so you're going to run it and go to halftime, right? Because you're smart, right? The whole world first guessing you, and then you do the stupid thing. Don't sit there and say, oh, yeah, it didn't work out, so you second guess. No, that is not what happened. That's not what that was.
No, it is that not. Was,
but anyway, so now I'm sorry. I guess I just.
Well, it's got it.
I feel like I have to have my own, you know.
Let's just go ahead and play it and see if we could just get those cheeks even redder than they are right now. Here's what Brian Callahan had to say on the end of the first half sequence yesterday.
Was there confusion there on knowing who
there
was?
Yeah.
Brian, you said yesterday that part of that sequence was you wanted to be aggressive.
Yep.
And that moment was the aggression because you thought you could score from the 7-yard line in a minute, or was it because you thought you really needed to get a first down with one play, otherwise they'd get the ball?
That was the intent, was that I knew they were going to be in man coverage. We called a play that was designed to go beat man coverage. We had Alec across the field, and I was trying to see if I could get one, took one shot at a place that I knew I felt pretty good about what we were going to get, and I liked the play call in the moment. And we had a shot to hit it, and it would have been a pretty good explosive gain that maybe would have gave us one more chance to see if we could get into field goal range, you know, with one or two more plays and with timeouts in our pocket as well. So, yeah, I mean, you can. It didn't work. So yeah, certainly in hindsight, you get criticized for it, and that's fair. So, yeah, that's all I can really add to that.
Again, I don't care about the play. So I thought we had a good shot. No, because if it doesn't work out, and let's in your own end zone with that offensive line against that defense, you think that's high percentage? There's no high percentage play.
No,
a shot. So again, if you are thinking that you have now let Denver off the hook because an incompletion, which is highly possible, if not a safety in the end zone, now takes them off the hook with the lost timeout. And so now they've got you. So I don't care what the play is. It's not about the play calling. It's about the game management, which was atrocious. So anyway, we can – thank you. Now I feel better. We can return. We can return to – I misinterpreted. I misspoke.
What else did you miss out on there? Like, it's just, I walked away from that press conference again just so confused yesterday. I was like, I don't know what he's up there talking about. Don't know what he's talking about. It's just crazy to me. LD from McMinnville says, I like how TD asked a question about the person in the booth and the coach tried to protect their identity, and then Paul basically just calls out the person by name. It was very funny.
His name's Rob Reederer. He lives at 731.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, thank you, Paul.
So it's Rob's job, right? And he got it wrong.
That's all Dax Rob.
I do have a texter here who's angry. He says, I think we have to move on. I've heard you guys say opposite things when you talk about a subject for an hour straight. We are arguing semantics. How dare you? I've never done such a thing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that this is semantics. Like, this is him saying one thing and then saying the complete opposite thing later. Like, that's not semantics. That's two completely different things.
Samantha says, I can't even listen. I have secondhand embarrassment. I'm kind of with you on that. It's like, oh, God, just go to the next game.
All he had to do was just keep that first answer and be like, all right. I mean, we'd still have people texting in about, oh, my God, I can't believe the NFL head coach doesn't know the rules.
Oh,
like,
yes.
That's not going to escape him anytime soon.
Right.
Like, you know, they can make
– it'll be tagged to him.
There could be, like, some – bad play call 7 weeks from now, and maybe he coaches really well until that point, and somebody 7 weeks from now to bad play calls, man, like, well, you got to remember, this is the same guy that doesn't know the rules. So, I mean, that's not going anywhere anytime soon. But, man, he is not in the good graces of this fan base right now.
No, and he shouldn't be.
Yeah.
He 100% shouldn't be. You know, look, it's one thing that is coming up a lot already and came up a lot yesterday, it's just, I guess there's no way to stop it. But, like, the whole idea of, like, take play calling away from him, I just, again, that's – when that is, like, what you were brought in to do, that's not going to happen. It's not – like, sometimes you see that where a coach will be like, oh, I'm going to take on the play calling. Like, Clark Lee, I'm going to take on – you know, defensive play call this year. And then it's like, it gets a little bit too much. I'm going to hand it off or whatever.
Yeah.
This is a model in the NFL. It's very popular in the NFL. It's all over the league. And it's like the idea that, okay, Nick, you call plays and I'll be the CEO. That's not – his strength is – and honestly, of all the things we've seen from him as a head coach, I think that play calling is the best thing we've seen.
Well, maybe. I don't know. Like, I've never really had strong takes on his play calling one way or the other because of,
considering how bad they were, that should tell you something.
Yeah,
right?
Probably so. Probably so. I mean, I guess I'll put it this way. I didn't walk away from their season last year, as bad as it was, thinking to myself, well, he's just a horrific play caller. So, yeah, maybe there's something to that in terms of how bad they were, that maybe that does tell you something. I did walk away from the last game thinking that. Like, not very good. So, I mean, it's one game. Everybody has bad games, yeah, calling plays.
I think general, so, like, yeah, some of his just general approaches, too aggressive, not aggressive yeah. enough. Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. I don't know what kind of play call. I heard DVD talking about this yesterday, and Willie's point was, like, some people can handle being the head coach and the play caller, and some people can't. It's too much for some people. And I agree with that. Like, I think that's a fair statement to make. I would also say in this specific instance, like, it's too late. He's a 3-15 head coach. Like, to me, he's not going to get the benefit of the doubt of, you know, here in 4 or 5 weeks coming to the conclusion of, well, I just don't need to be the one calling plays anymore. Like, if that happens, he's going to get fired. Like, they're going to fire him.
Yeah. And again, like, if you want to really talk about what he should be doing, well, then I'd let him be the play caller and stop him making him be the CEO. It's the CEO stuff that's bad.
Yeah.
It's the, hey, let's try for something here in deep inside our own end zone. Oh, hey, no, sorry, he didn't touch several digits to the field, so we don't need to challenge that. Like, that's not play calling. I mean, it's the press conference yesterday, that the CEO aspect of his job is where he's failing right now.
Yeah, that's where he could have used a head coach in, you know, talking to the play caller, like, hey, we're just going to run it here. Yeah. You don't need, you know, someone, an outsider's thought to, like, go to the play caller and be like, hey, you're not going to throw. We're backed up here. It's halftime. Just run it and go to halftime.
Yeah, he should have said, Brian, stop it. We're going to run it. He told himself, one ear is this ear, you know. It didn't happen.
Well, and this again goes – and this was something we talked about a lot at the end of the season last year, Joe, of what exactly is Nick Holtz bringing to the table? Like, is there an opportunity – was there an opportunity to maybe go out there and upgrade at offensive coordinator? And I know some people just automatically roll their eyes when they talk about an offensive coordinator that does not call plays. They're like, okay. I mean, how important is that guy?
They get head coaching jobs.
They do. And – Like, I don't know Nick Holtz. Maybe Nick Holtz is some genius behind the scenes. All I know is their offensive operation for a span of 18 games that they've now been the staff has been the worst in the league. That's what I know.
Yeah, that's very fair. You know, it's like, again, the play calling, like, they've had good scripted drives. So, again, I think that's fine. But, yes, the screen yesterday, which right before – his answer on, well, everybody second guesses, so that's fine, was an answer to Easton Freeze about the screen in which three guys went to block. You know,
it's not what you want.
So you got this huge moment, and they don't know who's supposed to catch the football. And I think there were at least a handful, and I'm probably being kind with that, of plays that were just, you know, it was a good question from Kaharski. It was a good back and forth with Kaharski and Callahan yesterday, which was like, you know, Cam having to direct people. And like Callahan said, sometimes that is, oh, we're changing this. We're checking to this. Protection's here. Back, you go here. But I'd say there are at least a handful of plays Sunday where it's like at least one or two people don't have a freaking clue of what you're doing. And I agree. That is, I mean, ultimately, that has got to be the OC. But again, the OC and Callahan also are, this is the setup. And the setup is the coach is really – it's the head coach slash the offensive head coach. That's his baby. And then there's a head coach of the defense.
Yep. Well, and here's kind of where I want to go from here, because we could spend all show talking about him getting up there and doing what he did at the press conference yesterday. I think in the last 24 hours that's probably been covered, right? Like, we've probably hit that enough. Well, I mean, we'll get back into it a little bit later in the show. But I think now – I'm probably more concerned by where does this all go from here now? Like, where is this headed? And I guess my real question is he digging himself in a hole that it's going to be impossible for him to get out of? We'll get into that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Later today on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, the Nashville Sounds taking on Gwinnett at First Horizon Park First pitch at 6:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Jared and Spring Hill to the program. Jared, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you, gentlemen. It's quite an honor. But, man, after listening to that press conference yesterday, I'm still frustrated and disappointed. With the lack of accountability from the head coach, I mean, I just expected a little bit more from him. I mean, you even had Simmons after the game. I went back and watched some of that. You had Simmons apologizing directly, saying that's unacceptable. I got to get better and I cost my team. Like,
thank you, Jared, for the call. So I look at this part of the Callahan conversation. And now my question is, can he get out of this? That's what it comes down to. Can he get out of this? Because I think if you go back, and we talked about this in the offseason, you look at coaches that have been there for a year that inherit number one overall picks and number one overall quarterbacks. The odds pretty much tell you they're going to get fired. Like, that's what the odds basically say, is it is very unlikely that those coaches are going to survive and get through to being the head coach 2-3 years from that point. Everybody agrees, and I heard DVD again talking about this yesterday. I think we all agree that the best case scenario for the Titans would be for them to look like a well-coached football team this year, to see some positive development from Cam Ward, and to get to a place at the end of the season where you felt good about how things were going, especially with the quarterback, right? I think we all generally agree with that.
Yeah, I would say so.
We're one game in. It did not go well. As people have pointed out, they did cover. They did play a really good team on the road, but the way it went down, not very good.
They played a really good team that will look back at that as the worst, most, here, please take this game from me, game of their entire season.
Which, but very well, yes, could be the case. Yes, very well could be the, yeah, case. But I've said the whole time, you have to show something as a head coach along the way. You don't get to just, like, this. I think this conversation is too prevalent right now, which is basically, oh, well, they can't fire him because if they fire him, Cam Ward's screwed. It's like, well, maybe. You know how Cam Ward could also be screwed? If you keep around a head coach that isn't good.
Yeah.
Right?
And I think more people are drifting that way.
Well, I mean, yeah, like, right now, and again, there's time to change it, but right now the body of evidence for Brian Callahan is he's a 3-15 head coach with not anywhere close to enough answers, that looks like he coaches a very undisciplined football team that can't get out of their own way. Like, that's what he is at the moment. So how do you fix that moving forward? The more I look at it, Joe, the more I think he's in a rough spot right here. And we're going to have to see something here pretty quickly that he, to this point, has not demonstrated for us to be having a different conversation at season's end about him still being the head coach. He's not shown it to this point.
Yeah. No, definitely not enough. Definitely mucky when it comes. Again, going into the year, I mean, I was more like, eh, open mind. They were terrible last year. They had the worst roster in the league. Everybody would agree they had the worst roster in the league. That's not his fault. Other coaches would have done better with that roster? Yes. But again, you're not asked, like, to keep your job, you don't have to be a top five coach in this league, right? You have to be competent. You have to be good. And the whole competent thing is in serious question after the last couple of days. How he gets out of it, to me, I mean, Cam Ward is how he gets out of it. Cam Ward being great. Cam Ward building on some of the things we saw, which were good. Some of the throws, the overall poise, you know, get rid of some of the sacks and things like that. Cam Ward is how he gets out of it. And again, there has to be some winning in there too. There has to be some overall, like, two parts of this team were good. So if you want to go CEO, but again, those aren't, like, he has a good special teams coordinator. And I think that was a really good day for Denard Wilson. But, yeah, fine. It's the product. Yeah, he's the head coach.
The whole thing's his, yeah.
Yeah. But then, again, when his part of it,
yeah,
is as bad and is so much of a suck on the whole thing and flips it to where you lose, then it's just It's not good, man. But Cam Ward is how. I mean, winning and Cam Ward progressing. And, you know, if they're terrible, but Cam Ward is good. First of all, it's hard for me to believe that they're not going to win some games if Cam Ward's good.
I would agree.
You know, I think that's a heck of a needle to thread. But that's the answer. And again, and look, some of it is, I mean, some of it honestly is not just Cam Ward playing well and all that, but it's also Cam Ward, and he's already done this. I don't even know if he was like doing it intentionally, but he's already campaigned for Callahan publicly, right? I mean, kind of during the preseason, of the stuff he said.
But
he was asked the questions, but still.
Well, I would also say, like, is that going to continue?
I don't know.
If he's looking around saying, I don't know, man.
That's
like,
a great question. And I don't think Cam Ward will ever get to the point where, yeah, I really need somebody new.
No, I don't think he's going to come out in the public and be like, yeah, we need to fire our coach.
But it's like you can be effusive, which I would say he probably was in the preseason, about how good this coach is for you and all this stuff and all you've learned and you like working with him. And then you get a little bit more noncommittal. If things keep going poorly and you hear less from him on it, because, I mean, he is the whole – everything's built around him. All the hopes are on Cam Ward. So if he actually truly believes that, said, no, this is my guy, well, that's probably as important almost as anything that happens on the field.
I would agree. Now, you know, he also said that Treylon Burks is a top five wide receiver and David Restrepo. So I think sometimes
– Brian Callahan's the greatest coach of all time. Vince Lombardi, step aside.
I couldn't tell if it was Newt Rockne or Brian Callahan out there. Like, it's just – so
– it's got to be discouraging, though, when you have a play an explosive play on the board, and your coach didn't realize you're supposed to challenge the play.
Yeah. Well, I would think so.
And it's going like back to whether yesterday, you're Iomanner or Ward, it's like, okay, I made this play, I've done everything, and here my coach is, he doesn't know what's going on.
And I'm not trying to be dramatic when I say this, but that's why I kept going back to yesterday. Like, I think that is very damaging to him in the locker room. I do. Like, you have to have confidence as a player in the NFL that your coaches know what they're doing. And if that confidence ever starts to be shaken, that's a big problem. That's why I think this is a huge deal. I really do. Like, I think the fact that he didn't know the rule and it just bumbled through that explanation yesterday, I guarantee you, there are players in that locker room right now looking at him going, what? Like, does he not get it? And that's not a good spot to be as an NFL head coach. I'm sorry.
No.
It's just not.
No, I mean, look, that's why, like, this week, I mean, yeah, show media something. Show the fans something. I mean, I think I can see him getting booed. This week, show your players something, man.
Yes.
Your game plan. Like, you better come up with some stuff where coaching made the difference in this, if not win, at least, like, really good performance. I mean, it's hard for me to say, you have to beat the Rams. I very much don't think they're going to beat the Rams. The Rams are really good.
Yeah.
But, like, this is, like, you need some stuff where it's like, look at how coaching – and look, was there stuff last year that we're not aware of where the behind-the-scenes film study, you know, that was good for him? I'm sure. Was there stuff Sunday where it's like, hey, look, we had this ready and, but again, even if it's like one guy was off, oh, you didn't know your assignment, that is coaching too, right?
Yes.
And so defensive guys look at it and say, how the heck are these offensive guys so discombobulated? The freaking receiver doesn't know that, like, one of them is catching the ball on this play. They're all blocking. Like, how does that happen?
Well, that's
coaching.
And it's also, you know, I understand that, you know, people got in this fight with me on Twitter in the preseason about Jarvis Brown. Remember when Jarvis Brown in the preseason like picked somebody up and body slammed him as a tackle? And I was like, well, yeah, that's going to get called as a personal foul. They were like, well, that's just Brownlee being an idiot. That's not coaching. I was like, well, yeah, if you want to break down every single penalty in the league, it all is the player's fault, right? Like, nobody's coaching you to jump off sides. Nobody's coaching you to hit somebody after the play like Jeffrey Simmons did the other day. But the bottom line is, if you are consistently a team that has trouble with taking stupid penalties, that is a reflection on your coaching at some point.
Yeah, no question. And if there's a repeat offender, like Brownlee and Simmons basically are the guys who, you know, different kinds of penalties. But, yeah, I mean, you got to – at some point you need to tamp that down. And also, when the overall number just barely comes up short of your total offense in a game, then that's definitely a coaching reflection.
Well, and again, you know, he talked about, and this phrase came up a lot yesterday, you know, your points of emphasis, or we'll emphasize it. And I'm sitting here thinking the whole time, like, well, I mean, look, you just apparently emphasized penalties all offseason, right? Like, it's one of your goals was, you know, eliminating these self-inflicted negative plays, right? And you emphasized sins. And you emphasized it all offseason. And the first game, you had 13 penalties. It's like, I don't know what you're doing to emphasize things, but it ain't getting through.
Right, right. I'll have a daily, like, players play for a coach. No. But does the message get through? Like, does whatever the coach does to try to make these things happen, like, do those things work? Based on one game, no.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More discussion on this coming up. We will get into some college football at 7 o'clock. A huge win over the weekend for Vanderbilt. A massive weekend coming up next weekend for both Vanderbilt and Tennessee. We'll get into all that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025. Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Santa in Portland to the program. Santa, good morning.
Keep it clean, Santa.
Robbie Joe, I'll do my best. I am clearly in the minority. A very, very small minority. I think the media is making this a lot more than it is. What I saw after listening to the post-game press conference and then listening to yesterday was a coach doing his best and fumbling at it of trying to fall on the sword and taking the heat for a staff guy that made a bad call. Should he have known? Yeah, he should have known. But one question I have is, how come all those refs on the field didn't know that rule and make the right call? Okay, that's what they're paid for as well. So that's just one point. And the other point is, I used to have a job where the minimum level of acceptable competence was perfection. You had to be perfect every day. So when I trained new people in that job, I trained them lightly. Then you get busier, then it gets more complex. And before they're ready to go, they have to be able to work the most complex and busy issues before they're allowed to go on their own. And what I've seen is Callahan bringing this team along slowly with vanilla during pregame like everybody does. And yesterday they got their first taste of real. And I see encouraging positivity, a lot of mistakes. Nothing surprised me. What exactly happened with the offensive line, I knew was going to happen. As soon as one of them falls out, they get a weak link put in, and then it all goes to crap. So it's just one of those things that I think that we got to have patience. I think that I'm not going to really make my mind up about the whole team until the bye and sometime in November. But I think it's just been, you know, we're just worried about nothing. But
thank you, Sam. Appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
Would you like to rip Santa? Or I mean, I disagree with most of that call. I like Santa.
I would say this. Really,
that's very sunshiny.
I don't think we're the ones making a big deal out of the NFL head coach not knowing the rule. Like, that's a problem. Now, whether or not he's trying to protect a staff member, maybe he is. He's doing a very poor job at it, if that's what he's doing. You know, Rob, SPK, just totally outed yesterday. If that's what's happened and he got bad advice on the headset, that's fine. He should still, as an NFL head coach, be like, no, did he get his elbow down right, or did he not?
Right,
because I know the rule. Like, Imani Hooker immediately on the sideline, you can see it on the shot, is like, catch, elbow. That's what he did. Catch, elbow.
Like he's about to drop an elbow in a wrestling match.
Right,
right. Like, so then you get into, so when he then talked about it after the game, was he just not knowing the rule? Like, did Rob, poor Rob.
Yeah, Rob's catching some strays.
Did he say, no, don't challenge or whatever? Like, you know, or did Rob say, oh, yeah, you got to have another foot down too? And then Callahan repeated that after the game?
I don't, maybe.
But the head coach needs to know that. So you can't put this all on Rob. You cannot. And again, Rob had nothing to do with Callahan yesterday saying he misinterpreted the rule and saying, well, I didn't know the rule. I just misspoke.
Yeah, those two very different
things. Misinterpret and misspeak are two. So, you know, I'm sorry. I appreciate Santa's general patience with the team and all that stuff, but this is not nothing.
No, I totally agree. It's not nothing. Now, I will say this. I mean, the charge is – I asked how can Brian Callahan dig himself out of it. I mean, the charge is on him to – let's see some massive growth and improvement here. You know, you're first off, you're going to need it this week against L.A. And, I don't think that game's going to go very well. And I said it yesterday. I mean, it's 1 week, so I don't know that I'm ready to throw a Daniel Jones or, excuse me, Indiana Jones parade yet. 1 week, they looked pretty good against a Dolphins team that I don't really know what they are right now, but he looked good. So that's going to be a – like, I gave them the win in that game before the season. That's not a guarantee by any stretch of the imagination. I think we know that. There's no such thing as a guarantee for the Titans as a win in the NFL. So, again, like – the task is in front of you here. The schedule works against you in the first half of the year, and can you manage it? Because I understand we all agree winning and the win-loss record is not the most important thing this year with this team. But you do have to win some. Like, you can't just lose all of them. You got to start to win here if you're Brian Callahan. Yeah,
the league is designed for everybody to win their share. Mitchell says, I agree with the caller. If we would have won, what would the conversation be? Would you still be coming down so hard on Brian Callahan? Well, no. Obviously, the conversation would be different. Now, would that challenge still have been asked? Yes. Winning coaches are still asked about things like challenges. Winning coaches are still asked about things like the situational football botching at the end of the first half. Had they won, though, well, of course, there'd be other things. Other things would have happened in the game. I don't know what, but that would have changed the outcome. Now, one thing that could have changed the outcome is knowing the rules and taking that huge chunk play, of which you had very few opportunities to even have one in this game, and then maybe that changed the outcome. So now that, of course, we're not coming down on him because then he would have done the right thing. But if these mistakes stayed the same and they won, would these be complete non-discussions? No. Would they be as dominant as they are now? No.
Well, I mean, what kind of a question is that? If they would have won, would the conversation be different? If I had $1 billion, would I be a billionaire? I mean, yes. That's what the name of the game is in the NFL. Of course.
If ifs and buts or candies and
nuts. If Brian Callahan was 14-3 instead of 3-14, we'd probably be having a different conversation about it. So I don't even know what kind of a question that is. If they won, would the conversation be different? Yeah. But they didn't, did they?
Sorry, Mitchell, I didn't realize we were going to rip you like this.
Well, what kind of question is that?
I mean, yeah.
If the Titans would have won the game, do you think the conversation would be different? Yeah, probably. They ain't been doing a whole lot of winning, though, have they?
If Will Levis completed every pass last year, you know. Yeah. Thank you, Mitchell. Mitchell and Rob. Who else can we rip
catching
today?
Catching some strays out there. I'm sorry. I don't know why that bothered me so much. I was like, well, of course. It's professional sports.
Yeah.
It's about winning and losing.
Yeah. But, yeah. No, absolutely. I get it. But I mean, seriously, like, if you go back, you go watch a press conference, like, if you watch a game and, like, there's some obvious, like, mistakes or a challenge that doesn't work. Like, Vrabel, after every game they won or lost, if there was a challenge – he would have been, and he lost the challenge. They won the game. He still asked about the challenge. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, these things are still discussed.
All right, let's take a Titans breather. 615-737-1025.
Probably need one.
Our phone number. It was a big weekend for the Vanderbilt Commodores. They get a huge win at Virginia Tech. There is a massive week of college football coming up with the two SEC teams around here. We will get into all that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.